Conal McShane's on News Nation. You see his trim and handsome body from 2 to 4. I don't know. What a stupid introduction. But I just thought about that the other day when I saw you on TV, and I thought, that guy is fit. Conal McShane, the anchor at News Nation now. He's also very smart. He's on at 2 o'clock later on today, Comcast 223, so on and so forth. Conal, welcome back to the show. Overall, what are you making of, or what are you hearing of, Donald Trump's nominees for these various cabinet posts?
You know, it's we knew this would happen, I think, because this is exactly what Trump promised to do, right? In many ways, when he was campaigning, he said if he won, these are the types of people he would appoint. And so you just try to take them one by one and consider each on the merits and inform the audience of the background of each and the qualifications or lack thereof of each. And I don't think, you know, you can make a blanket statement that Trump's just throwing in crazy people or that everybody that Trump's putting in is perfectly qualified. I think it's, you know, it's one by one. And certainly Matt Gaetz and Marco Rubio are not on the same you know, plain in terms of caliber. So
right.
We'll see how this goes. We'll see how
Rubio
it goes.
For Secretary of State, the yep. Interior Secretary nominee makes sense. But then yep. You've got Gaetz and Tulsi Gabbard and Pete Hegseth over at Fox News, who's going to be in charge of the Department of Defense and would, as I understand it, have the unilateral power to fire generals and get people that were aligned with Trump's political views, which is maybe not the way the military should be organized. In general, what is the theme here? Is there something that you do see that connects all of these appointees?
I mean, loyalists, obviously, I think is what Trump was looking for. But again, that shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody because, you know, he's been president before and we know who he is and we know how he acts and we know how he does things. And he wasn't happy with the people that ended up in those positions early in his first administration. He was advised by others to go with, you know, these experienced hands that had experience in all kinds of different things like business. And in Rex Tillerson, who ended up at Secretary of State, the CEO of ExxonMobil, or former CEO, and all these four-star generals, and you know, General Mattis on down, and you know, that ended up at the Department of Defense. And at some point or another, they turned on Trump, right? And he doesn't really get along with basically any of them anymore. So now he's going the loyalist route. Now, you can go that in different ways because then the question becomes a question of qualifications. And I think that's the real legit question about Pete, for example, at DOD is that, you know, okay, you want someone to come in and shake up the Department of Defense because you don't like the way it's been handled. You think there's too much bureaucracy, red tape, whatever the case may be. It's too, quote unquote, woke is what a lot of conservatives say. I think the question is whether someone who doesn't have the experience running or even working in that large of an organization would be the person to shake it up. So that's kind of the legit question, I think, surrounding certainly Hegseth.
One of our congresspeople here worried that an appointment like Matt Gaetz to a position where he would be privy to the nation's most secret secrets would be vulnerable to blackmail if a foreign power or any adversary had access to his personal life and were able to blackmail him into maybe not operating in our best interest. That sounds a little conspiratorial itself, but I understand the need to have people who are beyond reproach, and he's worried about that in Matt Gaetz's case.
I think there's concern about Tulsi Gabbard, too, especially given the position that she's being put Ian is the director of national intelligence. We had a former CIA officer on our show yesterday who was saying that there's a lot of people in the intelligence community who are very, very concerned that allies of ours will not be comfortable sharing intelligence with the administration if Tulsi Gabbard is the DNI, given her past comments where she's been sympathetic to Vladimir Putin, where she seemed to be sympathetic to Bashar al-Assad in Syria, and people questioning what her motives were, and now, you know, what that might lead to in a position that's as sensitive. You know, for Matt Gaetz, you know, we could talk in all kinds of different ways about, you know, who he is. But, I mean, I think a lot of what's out there in the public is known to enough people. You know, he was never a serious member of the House of Representatives. He's in there just really to cause a chaos, even at the expense of his own party. You can ask Kevin McCarthy about that, and then you bring up the personal life. You know, he was accused of in a sex trafficking investigation where the Department of Justice, in the end, decided not to charge him. He was accused of having
because
sex with a
minor, and in part because they felt that their witness, their star witness, just wasn't sufficiently reliable. You get the feeling
Correct.
That the evidence is there, but this guy is flaky enough that they didn't think they could get a conviction.
Well, they did. Yeah, that was part of it at the DOJ side, but the House Ethics Committee went forward with an investigation. Today was supposed to be the day their report came out.
Yeah.
Of course, he resigned from Congress before that could come out. So whether that leaks or not is another question. But, you know, what I was going to say at the end of it, it's very hard. It's impossible, in my view, to make an argument that Matt Gaetz is somehow qualified to be Attorney General of the United States, absent his questions about his character. But Donald Trump can put him in that position, at least on a temporary basis, if he really wants to. And that's really what was going to be interesting to watch, how much he uses the power of the recess appointment where he can get around Senate approval and put someone like Gaetz in, again, as an acting AG, quote-unquote, but he can basically put him in there for 2 years and then make a call about what he wants to do next. And he may very well do that.
I only have about a minute left, but can you explain that? So if he puts him in, it would be temporary, shy of a full panel query about him? I mean, doesn't the Senate get to ask questions? And they do get to vote on that, no?
Not necessarily. I mean, there's acting secretaries right now, by the way, in the Biden administration. And when the Senate is in recess, you can appoint people to federal positions like this without having a Senate vote. But they're technically referred to as an acting, in this case, attorney general. And they're in for the duration of the Congress. And that could go right up basically to the midterms, theoretically, where Gaetz could be up there for the better part of 2 years. And then
why is Donald Trump picking this guy? Why would Trump? I mean, there's plenty of loyalists out there who are more qualified. Why is he giving Matt Gaetz this escape hatch from the release of that report in the Congress?
I don't know that it's so much giving Matt Gaetz as much as giving, sort of, for lack of a better term, a middle finger to everybody else who looked back last time around at what happened with Trump. He feels like the Department of Justice was out to get him, particularly with the with a number of the cases that were brought, and this is his way, I think, of fighting back against that. That's the way he is. I don't think it should surprise anybody.
It's good to talk to you, my friend. As always, I hope you can join us next Friday as well.
Sure. Always happy to do it, John.
Connell McShane from News Nation. Watch him at 2:00 this afternoon.